We are thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you. Brother Ralph Craig opens our service by singing for us the glory of his presence.
I have walked alone with Jesus in a fellowship divine. Nevermore can earth allure me. I am his and he is mine. I have seen him, I have known him. For he deigns to walk with me, and the glory of his presence will be mine eternally. Oh, the glory of his presence, oh, the beauty of his face. I am his and his forever. He has won me by his. In my failure, sin, and sorrow, broken-hearted, crushed, and torn, I have felt his presence near me. He has all my burdens borne. I have seen him, I have known him, for he deigns to walk with me, and the glory of his presence will be mine eternally. Oh, the glory of his presence, oh, the beauty of his face. I am his and his forever. He has won me by his grace. In the darkness, in the shadow, with the Savior I have trod. Sweet indeed have been the lessons since I've walked alone with God. I have seen him, I have known him, for he deigns to walk with me, and the glory of his presence will be mine eternally. Oh, the glory of his presence, oh, the beauty of his face. I am his and his forever. He has won me by his grace.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that we know God and that we have you as our Heavenly Father. And we're thankful for the gift of your dear Son, who came into this world to be our Savior and to be our Redeemer. And it is him that we desire to present on this broadcast to this precious congregation, for we know that he is the only Redeemer there is. So bless this broadcast service. Use it for your glory and for the good of our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing with the selection, There Is a God.
There is a God and only one who made the earth. He made all things, created man according to his plan. There is a God.
There is a God.
And He is real.
And He is real.
Deep in my heart.
Deep in my heart.
His love I feel.
His love I feel.
When I am laid.
When I am laid.
Beneath the sod.
Beneath the sod.
I'll see and know.
I'll see and know.
There is a God. The blessed Savior came. He lifted me on higher ground. For heaven I am bound. There is a God.
God,
and He is real,
and He is real.
Deep in my heart,
deep in my heart.
His love I feel,
His love I feel.
When I am laid, beneath the sod, I'll see and know,
I'll see and know.
There is a God,
there is a God,
there is a God,
there is a God,
and He is real,
and He is real.
Deep in my heart,
deep in my heart,
His love I feel,
His love I feel.
When I am laid,
beneath the
sod, I'll see and know,
I'll see and know.
There is a God.
Our subject for today's broadcast, God is. And we will read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 for a text. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible does not try to prove there is a true God. It simply tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. However, there are those who do not believe there is a God. So I would like to bring you some thoughts in regard to the subject God is. Belief that there is a God is universal. This has been true all down through the history of man. There are a lot of different ideas about God, but the belief is there. But belief alone does not make it a fact. Now, I realize, again, there are those in the world who would consider themselves atheists and say they do not believe God is, but the Bible says they are a fool. Creating powers, creation proves there is a God, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. And here the Apostle Paul says, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Yes, the starry heavens, the sun, the moon, these things are clearly seen. And we understand by these things that we see, as the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And Paul declares here that it is through this we understand that the things which were made are made by this eternal power and Godhead. And he says, that humanity, because of these created things that tell us there is a God, humanity is without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So the psalmist said in 19:1. If the orbit of the earth, and I'm going to quote some things here now that I would like you to notice. If the orbit of the earth was perfectly round, we could not live on it. The earth's orbit has an eccentric of 2%. If the earth's orbit was near 1, our oceans would boil when we reach our nearest point to the sun, and freeze over when we reached our farthest. So God made it 2%, and here we are. Yes, God made it that way. The earth's atmosphere is 21% oxygen. If oxygen was 25% instead of 21, fires would erupt spontaneously. If it was 15%, human beings would suffocate. Scientists admit they cannot explain why it is 21%. No, they cannot explain it, but God can. Hugh Ross wrote, "The community of believers has no reason to fear and every reason to anticipate the advantage of scientific research into the origin and characteristics of the cosmos. The more we learn, the more evidence we accumulate for the existence of God and for his identity as God revealed it in the Bible." Now, stop here in the quote for a moment and make this comment. I have mentioned and thought numbers of times. I've been hearing of late about all those billions, not of stars alone, but all of those billions of galaxies. And here recently, they've been talking about more than one galaxy. And I'm made to wonder, the more they find out about these things, surely the more convinced they should be that there is a God. But it seemed to the contrary. They seem to think that, you know, these things are so great that it couldn't have been created by God. And yet, they are foolish enough to believe that there was a big bang back there so many billions of years ago that started all these galaxies and cosmos and so forth. Now, beloved, I say it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. Let me repeat that. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in the creative God who made all things. Now again, recording, the human body provides a great deal of evidence. It's a marvelous creation, the apex of God's physical workmanship. An adult body comprises about 75 trillion cells. Yes, 75 trillion cells. Any one of which is complex, almost beyond comprehension. Dr. Walter Bradley at Texas A&M University states, "Each cell in the human body contains more information than in all 30 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica." Let me repeat that quote from Dr. Bradley. He says that each cell in the human body contains more information than in all 30 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica, and we are told there are 75 trillion cells. The complexity of human cells changed in thinking of British philosopher Professor Anthony Flew. long considered the world's best known atheist, in a symposium in New York in May of 2004, he shocked everyone by stating that he had concluded God exists. After all those years of professing to be an atheist, he declared in New York in 2004 that he had concluded that God exists. To the surprise of all concerned, I announce at the start, I now accept the existence of God. So Dr. Brewer said. Now, let me quote again this statement by this doctor, Dr. Anthony Flew. He was long considered an atheist, and he declared himself to be an atheist. But he declared in 2004 that he was convinced that God exists. To the surprise of all concern, I announce at the start, I now accept the existence of God. The earth has things about it that no other planet has. That's why I say there are no human beings to be found on any other planet than this one on which we live. The earth has things about it that no other planet has. There is no other planet or place in the universe where you will find human life. God sent his Son to this earth to redeem mankind because mankind had sinned and gone away from God. But there are no human beings, or there's no life beings on some other planet, and Jesus is not going to go there and give his life to redeem them. There are a lot of laws found on this earth, in fact, in the universe. Where did they come from? Where did all these laws come from? We talk about the law of gravity. Without this law, life could not exist. And the same could be said about many other laws. There had to be a lawgiver to have all of these laws. No, evolution did not give us the laws of gravity or these other laws. A lawgiver gave them. And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments alone. I'm talking about all these laws that governs the earth and governs the universe. Why aren't those stars out there crashing into one another? And why are we where we are from the sun? Because God made the laws of gravity that governs this earth, governs the sun, and governs our orbit around the sun. Man, God's highest creation on earth, was made in the image of God. Yes, that's what the Bible teaches, and I believe it. Human nature, moral nature, mental and religious nature, where did these come from? Again, human nature, moral nature, mental and religious nature, where did they come from? They came from the Almighty God who created man in his own image. Non-intelligent matter and force are not an adequate cause of intelligence. Free will and conscience in man, where did that come from? Therefore, as an effective man's spiritual nature can be referred only to a cause possessing an intelligence. Yes, man has a free will, and he has a conscience, and he should be governed not by conscience alone, but by the Word of God. Now, don't tell me that a man can live right in every instance by just merely following his conscience. No, conscience can be seared with a hot iron, and conscience can be led wrong and can lead us wrong. So if we're going to say we live by conscience, we are to say, first of all, that the Word of God should be our guide and guide our conscience. But again, where did conscience come from? Where did the law of conscience come from? It came from an almighty being who formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Therefore, as an effect, man's intelligence, his free will and conscience in man, his breath is there by the creative power of Almighty God. Now, the freedom to choose is a responsibility given to us by God. No, I do not believe in predestination. I do not believe that God determined before he made the world and before he made man who would be saved and who would not be saved. God made man a free moral agent, and he made him with a conscience, and he gave him the responsibility of choosing. Those who say they are atheists by choice. God did not make them that way. No, they are atheists by choice. And as I read earlier, this man who has been an atheist for years woke up to the fact that there was a God, and he shocked his audience by informing them that he was now convinced that God is. And why did he do that if he had no choice in the matter? If God predetermined he was to be an atheist, how was it that he changed? No, God made us again, I say, with a choice. And we have the responsibility of choosing. I set before you life and death, good and evil. Choose life and live eternally. Since God is, and God formed man and gave him life, we are responsible, I say, to him. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Yes, there is a God, and God made man, and he made him with a free will, and he gave him the responsibility of choosing. And God has also appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. And we will be required to give an account to this judge by how we lived. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the good from the bad, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he's going to say to those on the right-hand side, those that choose to love him and serve him, he's going to say to them, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. And he's going to say to those on the left-hand side who chose their own way, whether it be an atheist, agnostic, or whatever it might be, they chose their own way, they chose the way of sin, and they chose the way of death. And he's going to say to them on the left-hand side, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God's nature or attributes are seen in our verse of Scripture. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A spirit is invisible, but God is still real, even though he is a spirit and though he is invisible to man. God is eternal. He's immortal. He's incorruptible. He has all power everywhere. He knows all things. He's immutable. He's all wise. He's incomprehensible, true enough, but he's unsearchable. He is love. He is perfect. He is righteous. He is good. He is gracious. He is faithful. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. He is compassionate. He is heart-searching. He is a consuming fire, an owner of all things, and a controller of nature, giver of laws, and bestower of grace as he sees best. He's an executor of judgment on man and nations. Yes, God is. And the fact that some people do not believe that does not change the facts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these thoughts with this precious congregation today. We trust the Holy Spirit will convey them to hearts and good will be accomplished. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust that our broadcast has been a blessing to you. And if it has, it would be an encouragement and a blessing to us if you would let us know. Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you can download past Way of Truth broadcasts if you have missed any. And you can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6. And our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
Of that beauty.